Well, hi there, homies. I can't believe we've only been going for 8 weeks and this is episode 26. Wow. We've already had thousands of downloads, which has completely blown me away. And I just want to take a moment to thank each and every one of you for listening and sharing this podcast with your friends. So today we are speaking with Dr. Joe Rosenzweig. I hope I got that right, Joe. He's a homeopathic practitioner born in Brussels, living in several different countries before deciding to settle in New Zealand. So in this podcast, he shares how he went from being a surgeon to discovering natural medicine. And believe me, he has studied pretty much every single natural health modality there is. He has also published 11 books and lectured internationally, and I was lucky enough to receive some mentoring from Dr. Joe when I was newly graduated. And it was so wonderful to draw on his experience when I was still completely overwhelmed with my new career as a homeopath. So he has a very special place in my heart for that. He also has a great sense of humor, so I'm sure you're going to be laughing along with me in this very entertaining episode. Let's jump right in.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we are hanging out with homeopath, black belt, surgeon, author. The list is so long. Dr. Joe Rosenzweig.
Swike.
Welcome, Dr. Joe.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, I had the humongous privilege of having you mentor me on a few cases when I just finished my studies many years ago. And it was just such a brilliant experience because you are such a funny guy. You have a great sense of humor and the most unbelievably wide and deep depth of knowledge on all things, not just homeopathy. So it's a huge privilege to have you here today.
My ego is swelling right now. I need some apis.
Well, and you also win brownie points because me and your wife share a first name.
Exactly.
Now, tell us a bit, Joe, about how you first discovered homeopathy.
Oh, actually, it's a photo of my son. I was a surgeon, okay, and I was a little bit disappointed about what I was doing because I kept operating people. They come back with the same pathology, do the surgery on people who have been messed up by the GPs and the internal medicine. And then they keep coming back. And I said, well, what am I doing here? I'm a plumber. I'm a carpenter. That's fun. I love it. I really loved surgery. But I'm not curing people. This is not what I expected to do in medicine. So I saw my anesthesiologist using acupuncture on my patients so that they didn't need heavy drugs and morphine and so on after the surgery. And I said, well, that's interesting. I'm going to learn that. So I went to the School of Acupuncture in Brussels. Registered. I almost didn't start the course because they were starting to say, well, for example, you know, in Chinese medicine, the liver can have a fire that will create conjunctivitis. And I said, what? A fire in the liver? You have a little fire there and everybody's sitting around and singing Kumbaya? You guys are nuts. But, you know, it was a prepaid course and the meal was Chinese and I love Chinese food, so I stayed. And that was good because I finally understood acupuncture. At the same time, my son was born, and that time I was still a firm believer in vaccines. That has changed quite a lot. So he had his first shots. And of course, after that, he had side effects. He had recurrent otitis. So otitis, antibiotics, diarrhea, nappy rash, da-da-da. Once again, otitis, etc. After the third time, I asked his pediatrician, who was the head of the neonatal intensive care unit in Brussels, what can we do? He said, oh, no, he's going to outlive it, and you know, then that's fine. It's going to be fine. And that time, after the experience with acupuncture, I was a little bit smarter, and I went to see a homeopath I was working with. And after a few powders, everything was okay. So I said, well, this is a slap in my face. Come on. So I went to study it. And being the crazy guy that I am, I studied in 3 or 4 different schools at the same time. At the same time, we moved from Belgium to South Africa, from South Africa to Israel and so on. Yada, 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 yada. Long thing. And this for that, thing we do in first year, second year. And that's it. That's about how it went. So, and progressively people kept coming. And for example, they kept bringing me bottles of tinctures or plants from the garden. Well, like, what is this? What can I do? And I said, well, I'm not a herbalist. And after a dozen cases like that, I said, well, okay, that's really annoying. I'm going to study herbalism. So I went to study herbalism at the college in London, distance. But I went twice. I flew twice to London for that. And from there into nutrition and to this and to that. When I was still in Belgium, I discovered gemotherapy, which, you know, is a big thing for me. Three books, 1,025 pages. That's the world reference in gemotherapy now. So, and oligotherapy, lithotherapy, many forms of acupuncture, whatever, Reiki, energy medicine. Then one day I had a few weeks where none of my treatment was working. And I was asking myself, what am I missing here? What's the problem? What have I not done? Because that's the first question. And I realized that one of the things I didn't do was to check their spine, their alignment. And I remember having worked with an osteopath in Belgium who showed me a few tricks. So I said, okay, well, let's call those patients back and check their spine. And indeed, there's something wrong, but because I didn't know anything at that time, I was sending them to a colleague osteopath. I clang, 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 put them back, give them the same remedy, suddenly everything works. So, wow, that's absolutely interesting. The blockage exists and so on and so on. So, yeah, let's keep referring. And after a few referrals, I said, well, hey, that's just a minute. I'm losing a lot of money like that. I'm going to study osteopathy. So I went to study osteopathy, the theory of it, because there's no real school here. There's one in Auckland, but then I would have to move to Auckland for 2 years at least. But I discovered orthobionomy and visceral manipulation and craniosacral therapy, which are the things I practice actually. And I love it. It's fantastic. And all the energy medicine, I've learned to give remedy through my hands when I do an adjustment or whatever. It's absolutely fantastic. And sometimes a distance healing across the globe. I have a patient in Switzerland that I treat regularly like that. Well, that's it. The fascinating part here is that the more I learn, the more I discover that I have to learn. It makes life interesting during a lockdown.
Absolutely. It's with everything that you've done, it just doesn't seem like you could do all that in one lifetime. I don't know how you've managed to achieve all you have. And this is a podcast, so people don't have the privilege of seeing the wall of diplomas and degrees and everything behind you. I can just see like well over a dozen.
You
can
see one wall, but walls plus the waiting room. There's 52 diplomas there.
And you've actually missed all the black belts you've got as well. You've got several black belts and just two.
just two, you know, a second.
It's not enough, Joe. It's not enough.
Unfortunately, there's no good dojos here. So I owned and I was teaching in two dojos, one in Israel and one in South Africa. Oh. I tried to save one here when we arrived in New Plymouth, but then the Kiwis, as you know, are not very interested in non-competitive things. It's either learn how to break a nose or learn how to go to the Olympics, and in Aikido we don't do that. What I do know is on my own Tai Chi, Qigong, a bit of yoga, weightlifting, you know, all that stuff that you can do in your garden.
Amazing. And the fact that your wife practices natural medicine, I guess, would help as well. So if you're saying, hey, honey, I want to go spend these thousands on this course or that course, I'm sure she's probably letting you go off and do that.
She's not complaining. She has nothing to say.
how do you manage to do all of this?
It's very simple. Because once you finish medical school, you know lots of things. So you don't have to go through to the anatomy, the physiology, the differential diagnosis, the stage here, the stage there, the apprenticeship and learn how to take a blood pressure and so on and so on. So you go only to the clinical things and to the materia medica and to learn those things. And I'm following my quasi-guru, Albert Einstein. He said, when he was asked, how do you remember all those formulas? I said, I don't remember any. Why should I bother remembering when they are in the book? So it's the same thing. You ask me, can you tell me the materia medica, pulsatilla? I would say, well, two sentences, but I don't know at all. When my pulsatilla comes on, you know, on repertorization, I reopen my material. Mm-hmm. Medica, check that, ta, 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 ta. Yeah, that's correct. That's the remedy. Oh, no, that doesn't fit. I have to find something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't try to encumber. You build on something as long as you have a wide basis. And that's why I try telling to students that ask me how to do it. I say, well, if you have time, go to a big thing. Go to a reputed school of naturopathy, for example, like the Baylor College in the US or the Canadian College of Natural Medicine, or go into medicine, but that's too much for you guys. Become a registered nurse and a nurse practitioner. You can do that. Mm. And then you have such a good basis that you can understand all the rest. You can do a conventional diagnosis. But then you have to learn also the other form of diagnosis. I use a lot of Chinese medicine diagnosis. And I'm planning to start the embryo of the beginning of understanding Ayurvedic medicine, because that is something I use their remedies, but in the Western way.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the plan.
Now, on top of all this ridiculously huge amount of professional development and over the years, you've also written several books.
Yes, 11.
11.
I just published the 11th. I'm rewriting one, but that will be the number 12. Number 13 and 14 are in my head and they're boiling already.
Amazing. Now, I know these books are all written specifically for practitioners and this podcast is obviously for the general public, but can you still give the public just a rundown of the books that you've written and maybe an idea of how us homeopaths can use your books to help our clients?
How the homeopaths can use them is simply by reading them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a joke. It's simple. It's make by a professional for the professionals. And as I tell everybody, if you don't understand something, I'm just an email away. So that's very simple. So the major book, my legacy to medicine, is the Fibonacci series. Okay, that's one book that encompasses about 15 years of practice. More than 2,000 cases of my own. And I wrote the first thing about 10 years ago and another one, an update upgrade 6 years ago. And since then, I have nothing to change to it. So this is established. It works that way. So that's the basics, okay? The other one that is important, I think, is the third millennium homeopathy, the early decades. And that's where I show my concept about constitution, core, miasm, and explanation on all those things and the change in the names. I'm discarding the word and the concept of miasm. I replace that by something else, that it's based on genetics, because we have to be with the modern science. So when you talk about miasm with a conventional practitioner, it laughs in your face. And there's a good reason for that. But when I start telling them, okay, well, it's based on genetics, on epigenetics and things like that, and they start listening or running away because they don't understand. So this is a big book. And then the next one is one of my babies. It's about gemotherapy. Mm-hmm. Gemotherapy is a form of herbal medicine that I started using when I was still in Belgium. It was not very well developed. It's a small booklet by Paul Henri, Teto, Bergeret, and all those people. But it's an absolutely gem. So I've changed it. I transformed it into dynamic gemotherapy because in it, I'm including the materia medica and the experience of all the other things that are not herbal. So, for example, in Crataegus, I used homeopathic Crataegus, but also the knowledge of herbal Crataegus, the one by the Campo, the Japanese materia medica, the Chinese materia medica, etc., etc., etc. So that one is now three volumes. It's called Dynamic Gemotherapy, Beyond Gemotherapy, Volume 1. Mm-hmm. This is the Materia Medica and some theory. Volume 2, that's more theory and the repertory.
Mm-hmm.
And now the latest that I've published, Volume 3, this is an A4 volume, which is a textbook of clinical dynamic gemotherapy in which I take every system separately, cardiovascular, respiratory, digestive, and so on and so on. And pathologies that have been treated or could be treated through gemotherapy and show them how to do that. So it's extremely practical. And that's it. So there's a few. There's a few more. Elementary nutrition for homeopaths. Elementary nutrition for a health practitioner. That's the same book, the same nutritional content, if you want. But I've removed all the homeopathic talk because some colleagues that do not know, do not accept the existence, the reality of homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Well, therefore, they can do that. I have one book about, homeopathy through the Chinese looking glass, where I teach how to use pulse and tongue in order to reach a diagnostic and a kind of a remedy, classification of remedy. This is one that I have to rewrite completely. What else do I have to do? Oh, of course. I keep forgetting that one. Many years ago, I wrote this one, Organotherapy, Drainage, and Detoxification. There's a course on that, an online course. There's an online course on Dynamic Gemotherapy 2. And I'm rewriting Organotherapy, Drainage, and Detoxification. And that's going to be huge. That's going to be huge because I'm including absolutely everything into it. And it's absolutely fascinating. And another one is, how do I call that? Yeah.
You know you've written many books when you have trouble recalling the names.
I just don't remember. It's called Dynamic Somatostructural Integration. Okay. It's the Ikebana of Manual Medicine. It's manual medicine simplified with explanations. And that has irritated many osteopaths and many of my teachers in autobiomy and visceral manipulation to say, well, you know, Joe, we don't need that. The science, no, we go with our sensational feeling. I say, well, that's fine. I do the same. Yes, but I like to understand what I do.
Absolutely.
I probably forget a few. That's okay.
Now, something that I find just truly inspiring is how you have created your own homeopathic potency series. Now, we have a book club with some of the mums in some of my clients in my group. And we were going through Amy Lansky's book, Impossible Cure, because it's just such an easy read. For somebody who's completely new to homeopathy, it tells them about all the principles and the different methods of prescribing and what homeopathy is and history of homeopathy and all that. So we just did chapter 2 last night and we started talking, it started talking about potencies. And I said to the ladies, well, you're in for a treat because in the morning I am interviewing Dr. Joe, who developed his own potency. Because one of the questions that came up from the mums was, why does it jump from 6 to a 12 to a 30, then to a 200 and a 1M? And who made this up? And I was like, it's just completely random, but Dr. Joe will answer all your questions. Perfect. So go for it, Joe. The floor is yours.
How many hours do we have? Because I'm doing webinars on that. It's a five-hour course.
Okay. Maybe condense it down to like 10 minutes if you can.
Read my book.
Well, for the public, for the mums in my group who are doing this.
It's very simple. To answer that question, who invented that? It's Kent. This is supposed to be the harmonics, but there's absolutely no harmony in that. Because you go to, in the full series, it's 6, 12, 24, 30. That's okay. It's a duodecimal thing. And then you jump to 200. Why? And one vet homeopath has described that the jump is impossible as a full article that is in the book too also. And then from 200, you jump to 1M. Why? That doesn't make sense. And this is one of the things that have irritated me since the first day we talked about potency in class. And I was asking questions, of course. And the final answer was always, well, I use that because it works for me. And I don't know if you are on all those multiple email lists and Facebook things and all that stuff. There is always a question. Every single week, there's a question by a practitioner, very often a seasoned one. I started this patient, gave the remedy that is totally indicated in this potency, and nothing happens. And what do I do now? And everybody has the same answer. Go higher, go lower, use dilution glasses, and here I come and I say, well, use the Fibonacci series. Okay, but why? Why? The question is, how do you determine which potency to choose? And that was the theme on my first paper on that, how do we remove the guesswork from choosing the potency, because it is a guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell me when you see a patient why you're going to choose a 30 or 200 over a 6. And there's that old legend of the lower potencies for the material things, for the physical ailments, and the higher potency for the emotionals. And this is, excuse the word, no, don't excuse the word, it's total bullshit. Because in my experience with those Fibonacci series, I have had so many mental, emotional, and psychological cases that reacted to a 3C. Quite a few examples in the book. So I'm a very lazy bum. Honestly, I'm lazy. So instead of trying to devise things and techniques and methods and algorithms that will not work because they become patient-dependent and practitioner-dependent, and go back to that, I say, well, if we don't know what potency we need, well, why don't we give them all one after the other? And that's not new. That's what Hahnemann did with the LMs. You start with LM1, you reach LM30. He did that. The problem, the LM is a linear, it's very linear. It's not a natural progression because there's no straight lines in nature.
I'm just thinking, can you, because this is for the general public, they might not know what Fibonacci is. Can you maybe just explain what Fibonacci is?
Fibonacci is a mathematical series. You know that spiral, okay, that you see in the broccoli, in everywhere, in the snails,
and shells,
and so in the shells.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And it goes from 0 to 1. 1 plus 0 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. Mm-hmm. 5 plus 3 is 8, etc., etc. So that spiral is an exponential potency that grows, but builds on the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go directly to 144 because it's a potency in the air like that. It has no basis. Okay, so that's a natural progression which you find everywhere in nature,
mm-hmm.
in plants, in everywhere. There's plenty of illustrations in the book. I want you to mind.
Do you recall how you came upon that? Like, was that like an aha moment?
But absolutely by chance. And actually, I was torturing my mind. And I came across the movie, The Da Vinci Code.
Ah, yeah.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, he has to open a secret cylinder that contains a message, but he has to find the numbers. And he thinks, and who is this guy? And say, oh, I'll try the Fibonacci series. Clank, 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 clank. It opens. I say, huh? What the hell is Fibonacci series? So, Fibonacci. Oh, but that's interesting. And here was the correlation. Fibonacci series is a mathematical progression that is everywhere in nature. Homeopathy is a natural therapy. Let's put both together, and it answers my question. How do I go through each and every potency in a progressive way by starting low, a 3C, not a 0, and continuing up to 233, stop at 233 for practical reason. And because the mathematics of that say that because it is exponential, when you get to 233, you have gone through all the potencies from 3C through 18 billion trillion C. Okay, try to do that by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's impossible. Yeah. There's not enough water in the universe to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that has proved excellent.
It makes so much sense. And, you know, I always feel that it doesn't matter what the question is, the answer is always in nature. And even if we mm-hmm. look at structural designs of buildings or design of helicopters or anything, the answer is always in nature. It doesn't matter what it is, really. You will find it if you go outside and
if you look, you'll adapt that to your profession.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I did. So that was simple, relatively. I had to convince Mike at Similimum to start doing it because to run one remedy to all the 10 potencies, by hand. It takes a 24-hour, full day of work for a technician. So at the beginning, it was very reluctant. I said, please do it.
And the remedies cost about, $6 or $10 each. So it's not like it's a particularly profitable business for him.
Well, at the beginning, he said it will cost you a dollar per potency. So that means that the patient that was to receive a 233 would pay $233. So at the beginning, the first few months or years, I limited myself up to 89. And then as Mike saw that, it starts going around and goes, I have orders for all over the world. So he dropped his prices and I increased my potency.
And, at the end of the day, even if you were to pay $233, it's still a lot cheaper than what people pay in supplements. Like I just look at some of my clients that see a naturopath as well.
Yeah,
and they will walk away with $1,000 worth of supplements every single month. So I think it's a good investment.
Yeah, but remember one thing. It's a psychological material investment. You go out with something in your hand. With a prescription, you take a few powders or a few pills or something, and you don't know what will be the result. You have no idea. And that's kind of a little bit in the air. So at the beginning, I had to explain them what I was doing and would they be so nice to participate to that experiment and so on. And I cannot give them the remedies for free, as I should from an ethical point of view, but I cannot afford that. So many of them agreed and they had good results. And that was it. Nowadays, Similimum sends all over the world, as you know.
Yes. I think, are they the only pharmacy in the world that does that?
No, quite a few others are starting, like are charging an arm and a leg. Helios is charging you so much. So what I do when I need something that we don't have in New Zealand, I order 3C from Helios, which is pretty cheap. I give it to Mike and he runs the whole thing. And that's it. Simple.
This whole Fibonacci series is just so sophisticated. And I hope homeopaths catch on very quickly, because even the LM potencies, the six organon wasn't released until I don't know how many decades after Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, died. And so by that time, most homeopaths were already very stuck in using the C potencies. And it took many years for them to start using the LM potencies. So I hope in your lifetime, Joe, that everyone's using Fibonacci series, but it might take a little while. But I do think that we are creatures of habit. So it is hard to come out of that way of prescribing that we were taught. But I think the more that we are taught the Fibonacci series and prescribing in that manner, I do think it's going to be revolutionary. I think it might take a little while to get people out of their habits. But I love what you've done. I love that you found the answer in nature. And I love that it makes so much sense.
Are you using the Fibonacci potency?
I am not. Like, once again, pure laziness and pure just...
Consider yourself spanked.
Yeah.
No stand in the corner.
I have used it when you were mentoring me. I have used it. I did have good results, but then I just fell back into the ways that I was taught. So it is tricky.
Look, I know you are a very successful homeopath locally and internationally, though, but please start using the Fibonacci and you will see the difference. There's only one problem from what I see in the background there. You have all your bottles and all the remedies in each one in 3, 4, or 5 different potencies. To try to stock 100 or 200 or 500 remedies in all 10 potencies, you need to build an annex or another farm on your property. So use simply what I do. You send a prescription to the pharmacy. The pharmacist sends it directly to the patient. No intermediary. No money exchanges. I have a problem selling things to people. Oh, that comes from my medical background, because that was totally forbidden, of course. But I cannot put supplements or drugs or whatever or remedies in front of the patient and say, you have to buy all that. Because nobody's going to refuse, but maybe they cannot afford it. So when I need them to have supplements or whatever, I send them to the health shop. And if it's too expensive, because I tend to select a few supplements that I like, but they are not the cheapest one, the health shop calls me and say, look, it's too expensive for them. What can we do? So, okay, what do you suggest? What do you offer? And it's a question of ethics. But,
absolutely.
And that's the way. But please try to use it and then publish your cases, because that's the only way to propagate the thing.
Well, you have definitely re-inspired me.
Oh, good.
So I'm wondering, Joe, do you have a few cases that you could maybe share with us, and maybe specifically around anxiety, if you can, because I know a lot of families are so affected by lockdown. And in New Zealand, I think you're still in lockdown. Has it been about a month now? Or not in New Plymouth?
It depends. Auckland and Waikato are in level 3. We are in level 2. And the Delta is progressing. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But the anxiety, the problem is that there's a good reason. There's a physical thing for the anxiety. And we always say try to remove the cause. So we're not going to remove the Delta virus. We have to learn to live with it. So to remove your anxiety about your COVID, first of all, is to take the preventative measures. All right? Look, if you go on my website or on my Facebook page, there's an article that I've wrote there that is called The Viral Panic. Okay? It's free for download, etc. There is lots and lots and lots of information on what to take to prevent that. Let me give you a case related to a child with ADHD, okay? It was when I saw him, he was pretty young. That was years ago. It was about 8 years old. Voices in the head and all that stuff and agitated and so on and so on. So take a phone case. What do I prescribe? Sulfur. Yeah. Oh, biggest remedy, sulfur. What a coincidence. And he starts with a 3C. Now, I give to my patients only one powder, one dose of each potency, so they're not going to overdose, etc. And the next day after he receives the remedies from the pharmacy, I get an email from the mother saying, Joe, thank you. My kid just came in and said, well, tell Joe that his remedies are working. I just took the powder that you gave me and whoosh, the voices stopped in my head. Okay, so that's demonstration that a 3C, lowest potency we use, works for emotional, psychological thing. Of course, we had to finish the series, and then we had other layers that we had to remove, the vaccines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a demonstration.
That is pretty amazing, because that is not how we are taught. Conventionally, we'll say, you know, if there's mental, emotional aspects to the case, you would start with a 200 or maybe a 1M or a 10M. So that's very interesting that you started with a 3C, and it does boggle my mind with my 4 years of full-time training on homeopathy. So when you're saying this, really challenges the way that I was taught, but yet you have the you have the evidence in your clinic. So obviously it is working. Which
The challenge is very simple, because we have been told to decide based on our knowledge and on our understanding of the patient and our wrong premises, what potency to give to the patient. But it's the patient, it's his physiology, body, mind together, that knows what potency, which potency, or which potencies he needs. And we have no way to know it, because what is your baseline? What is your point zero? How he was before, you don't know if how he was before was normal. How you feel, it depends on who you feel that day. If you had a bad night, you're going to feel down. So everybody is going to feel more energetic than you. Oh, well, let's give them a high potency. But there's another school that says the opposite. If they are very energetic, we have to give them a low potency. Which school is correct? None of them. We cannot guess what potency to give. And the only use I have now for those conventional potencies, which I have quite a few in my drawers, is in case of acute or emergency. And in case of acute and emergency, any potency is going to work. Some in one dose, others with repeated dose. And I demonstrate that in one of the chapters of Third Millennium Homeopathy, which is on sale at www.lulu.com.
It's Lulu. Hey, L-U-L-U.
L-U-L-U.com. Yeah, can find them all there.
Excellent.
We are told by all teachers and by homeopath, be an objective practitioner. Okay, no preconception, no preconceived ideas. Or the patient will need that. He looks like an elephant, therefore we'll give him elephant. You know, all those new things that. no comments on that. But we have a preconception because we know that we are going to use a 6 or a 30 or a 200. No, that's a preconception. We have to abandon. So how do you do? Muscle testing? I learned that. I tried it. I always have overridden all my patients. The thing I had in my mind was always positive. And it was demonstrated to me that it is wrong because it was wrong. Mm-hmm. Pendulum, same thing. I can agitate a pendulum in front of you, you know, would be in a helicopter. But it gives my answers. Okay? So be lazy. 3, 5, 8, 13, blah, 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 blah. There's a system, and you adapt that system using dilution glasses the same way you were using that for the fifth organon from the sixth organon, same way you do that with LMs, to what the patient needs. If you feel that the patient is very fragile, well, I put them the powder in one glass, and then we do 5 dilution glass, and you take one drop from the fifth glass. Mm-hmm. Takes me about half an hour to explain it to them. and the end of the day, it's very safe.
I might just quickly interject there for a second, because I know that our listeners are not going to know what you're talking about. But what Joe is saying is that we have ways of making the remedy just that little bit gentler. Now, we don't have side effects with our remedies, but we can have what's called aggravations, where your vital force is bringing up the symptoms, basically bringing it to your forefront of your mind so that it can tell you, hey, just so you know, I'm busy working on this right now. Remember this issue that you had? I'm just bringing it up so we can cure it. But so if you do have an aggravation, you can dissolve the powder in some water and then take a couple of teaspoons of that water, put it in another glass of water and stir it. Take a few teaspoons, put it in another glass of water. And then you can take a teaspoon of that last glass as one dose. And that's one way that we use for very sensitive patients. I haven't had to use it often, just a couple of times where I've had clients who were so sensitive to the remedy and we just diluted it and it really helped to minimize their aggravations.
Can I interject on
that
one?
Yeah, please go for it. I thought you might have something to say.
I recommend that you use a dilution glass not only to the sensitive patient, mm-hmm. but of course when they have physical pathologies.
Yes.
You don't want the slightest aggravation in somebody that can do an asthmatic, status asthmaticus or status epilepticus, or people who have a pathologically high blood pressure or very, very bad angina pectoris. So you give them whatever it is. And also when there are deep emotional things, which you can determine by the Chinese pulses and the examination of the tongue. Mm-hmm. When you do that and you feel that there are very deep emotional things, go for the dilution glass because you don't want everybody to break up at home and have the old anger coming up and you have to hide the knives and the hammers. This is terrible. Okay. And that's it. But it works extremely fast as long as you have the correct remedy, of course. If you don't have the correct remedy, you can try until tomorrow or until the calls go home. It's not going to work. The first thing, the most important, is to have the correct remedy, or also to prepare your patient, because very often correct remedy will create, for example, a symptoms of detoxification. But if your liver and your kidneys and your colon and your skin are not ready to eliminate all that, what you have is a sudden poisoning of your patient, because everything is going back into bloodstream to be eliminated. And then it's not eliminated. So it has to go back again. And that's why people who go for a detox and go in the pharmacy or the health shop and go and take from the shelf detox for the liver and say, oh, it has made me so much worse. I'll never do that again. Well, that's obvious. The plants were good. The herbs were good. The combination was good. It did do its job 100%, but the patient was not ready to eliminate. So you have to prepare your patient by changing their nutrition, by treating their liver, their kidney, at least that. And then you have to detoxify them, remove the previous drugs, remove the heavy metals if there are any, and so on and so on and so on, which is completely described in all my
books. Therapy, drainage, and detoxification. I do have that one.
and nutrition.
So, Joe, what do you think somebody can do to prepare themselves for an appointment with a homeopath? Like, you know, how can they get the most out of their consult? What do you think is important for the client to know before they see the homeopath?
Just sit down and don't be shy to tell everything. That's all. If you go to a homeopath for, say, an ingrown toenail, which is possible, be ready to be asked about your emotional past and who trod on your foot when you were 5 years old and you have never forgotten that person and you're still angry and so on and so on. What somebody has to know is that homeopathy, like all the rest of natural medicine and conventional medicine should be there, is completely holistic with a W. We keep saying that we don't treat the disease, but we treat the patient. That's not always true, by the way. But everything, every symptom, every disease, every pathology that we have, unless it comes from a poisoning or an accident or something, is a kind of a message of the inner body, body, mind, telling you, hey, I've got a problem. Please help me. The vocabulary of the body and of the mind is limited. Okay, you have emotion, well, you kind of have chest pains. Now, you have to make sure that your chest pains is not an acute myocardial infarction in progress or a cancer of the esophagus or this or this or that. That's why you have to have a diagnosis before you start peddling your remedies, because the remedies will work, but they will be just symptomatic, not curative. You have to know what's going on. But then you have to address the emotional thing that causes your chest pain. And to give cactus grandiflorus is very effective. But then a Panadol will be also effective if you don't go deep in the situation and it's not mirroring nausea, carcinosin, all those good ones. So just prepare yourself. Don't be surprised. And to be honest, what I ask my patient to tell me when through the pulses again, I say, well, you have deep-seated anger issues? They look at me and say, how do you know that? Well, I don't know. You just told me. Do you want to talk about it? And they will say, no. I say, well, that's fine. You don't have to. I only know that you have anger issues. I might or might not address them through the remedies, but we both know that the treatment will probably not be complete. That's all we have to tell them. And generally, you get to the same remedies, you know, again, not bearing nausea, carcinosin, whatever. And it comes out, and next consultation, they come and tell, well, this has happened and this has happened, and I didn't know that. Oh, and by the way, my hemorrhoids are cured. They tell you I had hemorrhoids. Well, that's obvious. The hemorrhoids are linked to the liver. In Chinese medicine, the liver is the organ of anger. Hello?
It's beautiful. And I love how you said that the symptoms are the vocabulary of the body and the mind. Because if we can look at our symptoms that our body and our mind gives us as our body and our mind speaking to us, saying that things are out of harmony, then I think we'll look completely differently at health. Because at the moment with the medical model, if there's a symptom, it's something that needs to be suppressed and gotten rid of. But in holistic medicine, we look at symptoms as a way of your body saying, hey, I'm not happy about something. You need to give me a hand here. So I like that you're saying that. I completely agree.
That was not always the way. When I was in medical school, we were supposed to go find all the causes and treat them too. Psychosomatic medicine just started at that time. Oh boy, am I old. But we were supposed to reach that and say, well, you know, we knew that heart attacks were linked to emotions and then that disappears. And now it has been rediscovered. The broken heart syndrome is now accepted. Which we all treat with Natmir, and it's very simple. But at the same time, the heart itself physically has to be supported with crategus, with magnesium, with other herbs, with proper nutrition, and so on and so on. Okay. Because one of my mantras is that homeopathy works best when the patient is alive. So you have to keep your patient alive by other means, while the deep problem is resolved, and then the physiology can take over. But we are in a situation where people wait and wait and wait, or are suppressed by conventional symptoms, by conventional medicine, which sometimes it's absolutely necessary and very helpful, those kind of anxiolytic and antidepressants that prevent people to go from committing suicide, as a good call, good call. But otherwise, the rest, it has become a kind of a suppression thing here, and we have to work against that. And that's a problem.
Absolutely.
Because we have to detox them from their drugs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Joe, how do people get hold of you? Can you give us some of the places that they can find you?
Well, I have a website, which is naturamedica.co.nz. Naturamedica is the name of the clinic. Mm-hmm. It's Latin for natural medicine. I have an email. I think you have my email.
Yes, I can link it all in the show notes.
Yeah, you can leak that. Mm-hmm. My books are in self-published. Mm-hmm. That's why they cost a lot less. Mm-hmm. And it's on lulu.com. Mm-hmm. And, well, that's about it. I'm on in the multiple Facebook discussion things, where I put my sarcastic and cynical remarks all the time. That's it. And for the colleagues, well, as I say, I'm just an email away.
Mm-hmm. You are amazing with your emails. Like I have, yeah, definitely called on you a few times over the years. And I don't know, do you ever sleep?
Yeah, all the time. I'm actually sleeping right now.
Now, I like to end the podcast on a little bit of fun by asking our guests what their three favorite remedies are for themselves and why. The three remedies that you could never live without.
There's no remedies I can live or cannot live without, because every time I need a remedy, it will be different. Wrong person to ask that question.
I had a feeling that might be the case.
You can ask me what remedy would I take if I were stranded on a desert island. Well, obviously, okay. Arnica. but that's about it. That's about it. No, you know that.
Joe, I was not expecting a standard answer from you anyway.
No,
so
never. Nothing is standard with me.
Oh, it was such a treat getting to chat with you today. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing your never-ending knowledge with us. And I look forward to us speaking again soon.
Yeah, you're very welcome.